Aloha and good afternoon. My name is Jürgen Steinmetz, joining you from livestream.travel and eTurbo News in Honolulu, Hawaii. With me, as always, is Dr. Peter Tarlo, joining us from College Station in Texas. And I heard the snow is all gone.
That's true. So thank you for asking. Last week was our week of nightmare. The week before that, it was in the 70s, and it's now back to the 70s. So today was about 78 degrees. With a little cloudy skies, blue, but it was great. So it's if you were walking on the streets of College Station today or in Texas, it would be impossible to believe that a week ago we were under an ice storm and under a really difficult situation. So the world has changed. Blue skies have come back, and we're good to go. Hopefully we have had our 1 week of winter and that's it.
Yeah, the same here. We had some good news yesterday, what will be implemented at midnight tonight. We moved from tier two to tier three in Honolulu on the island of Oahu.
About COVID.
That means we now get a lot more freedom. So we get people can leave the prison a little bit more. There's no more restriction in restaurants when it comes to the number of people. Except on one table, you cannot have more than 10 people now. There was to be five. When you go to the beach, you can go in groups with 10. And some of the entertainment venues are reopening. The bars are not yet open, but many bars get around it in serving food, and then they become a restaurant. So things seem to become back a little bit to normal. Our numbers are quite low. Actually, they have been so low that we could technically go to tier one. But it's not allowed to go from tier three to tier one. So we have to stay in tier two for 1 month. And hopefully if the numbers remain low, we're almost going to be back to normal after this. So that is pretty good news.
Yes. Well, you see that in various places around the world. Of course, we see that Israel is now opening up big time. Iceland today announced that if you have a card, an international card that shows that you've had both the first and second vaccination, you don't have to go through a test. You just have to get on a plane and arrive in Reykjavik, just as like the good old days. So that's really, again, good news. I know they're doing that in the Seychelles, but I think this is the first country in Europe. And of course, Iceland is the closest country to the US East Coast mainland. And so again, I think it's only about $400 from New York to Reykjavik. And that might be a really nice getaway. It's cold, of course, it's still February there. But you know what, you can see the northern lights and enjoy the ice. So if you didn't get to Texas for the ice, you can go to Iceland.
No, I will definitely go back to Iceland. I've been to Iceland one time in my life, and this was in the winter. And it's a big mistake to go in the winter because everything is dark. It's literally, it never gets to be daylight. And I still remember when I was staying at the Hotel Keflavik, the tour guide told us our tour leaves at 11:42. And I said, oh my God, I mean, they're really, really precise. And he was right, because at 11:41, it was pretty much so dark, you couldn't see anything. 11:42, the sun came out, and we'll be back an hour later and it got dark again. So it's, but it's a beautiful place. And I think when there is daylight, specifically in the summer, and now the days are getting longer, it's beautiful to visit. And I'm not sure, in the old days, there was Icelandic air, and I'm not sure if this is still the case. It's they serve a lot of the European airports and a lot of the US airports. So you change planes in Iceland and you can go from anywhere to anywhere.
It was definitely the airline when I was in college that everybody used from New York and Washington to go to Luxembourg. It was New York, Reykjavik, Luxembourg City. And that's how most college kids in the 1960s and 70s went to Europe, and they served on Icelandic Airlines brandy and codfish. That was what they served. And I said, why do you serve so much brandy? They said, well, it's filled with college kids. So if you give them enough brandy, maybe they'll fall asleep. The other thing was that you would land in Reykjavik and they would sell Icelandic sweaters, which are really beautiful.
I bought one of those.
I have one from the 1960s that's in perfect condition. And the plane did not leave for Luxembourg until they sold enough sweaters. So if you wanted to move on to Luxembourg to get to Europe, you had to go and buy a sweater. So many people bought sweaters they didn't even want, but it was a way to get the plane to shorten the lag time that it was in Reykjavik. So
yeah, and these were interesting time, Peter, because I flew out of Luxembourg a number of times also on Iceland. I only stopped over one of the times, but I did buy the sweater. And if I can still find it, I'm sure it wouldn't fit me anymore, but it's good to have. But the thing is, at the time, and there was a bus service. I lived in Düsseldorf at the time. And it's about a 4-hour drive, a little bit more than a 4-hour drive to Luxembourg. And Iceland Air had bus services from Düsseldorf, from Cologne, from Frankfurt. Now it has also changed.
From Paris to Paris.
Now it has changed.
Most of us went to Paris by flying to Luxembourg and taking the bus to Paris.
Yeah, and the reason for this was because European countries, this was before the European Union became the driver, you know, for everything, had different rules. So for example, airfares out of Germany were quite expensive. Airfares out of France were quite expensive. And Luxembourg, as a small independent country, did not have the same route. So airfares were very reasonable. And that's why people got on the bus. And now it's no longer necessary. So Iceland Air also now flies into Frankfurt, into Paris, and into other airports, and there's no difference in the fare. But I remember the times you mentioned.
Yes. Speaking of changes, another positive change is that Ecuador is starting to think about opening up. I'm not sure yet if they're ready to open up the Galapagos Islands, but they are the mainland of Ecuador's opening up, and they're planning and developing a tourism police that will be hopefully in the Quito, in Guayaquil, in various other cities around Ecuador. And that will be really nice because Ecuador is a very beautiful country. It has had some problems in the past, and if they're able to pull this off, I'm hoping to be in Ecuador in June or July. If they are able to pull it off, it will really be a big push for their economy, which has suffered terribly. Of course, Ecuador has the advantage for US citizens. The legal currency of Ecuador is the US dollar. And so you don't have to have any money exchanges. Also in the same way of tourism security, Colombia has, and on our Spanish edition, we interviewed one of the people from Colombia, but my former student, Juan Pablo Cubides, is now in charge of tourism security for the nation of Colombia. And we're hoping to have a major conference in person, a real conference for people around the world in Colombia in September. So that will be another really important act that's taking place. And then of course, one of the things I think we want to mention is that it's only a year ago that I think it's March 5th, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
We had the first discussions about rebuilding tourism. It was when the ITB in Berlin was didn't happen, but this discussion, from that discussion has come the World Tourism Network, has come rebuilding tourism, and really was the first glimmer of hope for the tourism industry to recover. And I know you were played a very essential role in that.
Well, it happened exactly 1 year ago, as you rightfully say, and the end of February, so a year ago from today, we started promoting an event we jointly organized with PATA and the Global Resilience Center in Berlin on the sideline for ITB. And ITB, as most of you know, is the largest travel industry event in the world. And we had a room ready at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. And Corona was it just became a reality. No one really knew what would happen and how bad Corona really gets, but people started to discuss Corona, especially in the travel and tourism industry. There was some concern. These concerns, of course, grow by the day. And eventually ITB, just 2 or 3 days before opening this huge trade show, canceled. Now, I was already in Europe. You were just about to get on the plane.
Yes,
and decided not to go.
I was no, my plane was canceled.
Your plane was canceled, and
yes, they still owe United Airlines still owes me money from it.
Yes, but I was in Berlin, and so were a lot of other people stranded because they already came to many people came to Berlin early to enjoy the city. It's a beautiful town to visit, and when you're at ITB, you're so busy. So many things going on, so you don't have time to visit. So people either come early or they stay a few days longer if they have the opportunity. So we managed actually to pull off this event. It was a small group of people, an important group of people, and we met on the same time we said we would meet at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It was a breakfast meeting. The only difference is we canceled the bus after this to ITB because ITB was no longer there. But it was the beginning of the rebuilding.travel discussion. And rebuilding.travel, you find it online, goes back. It grew from just a handful of people to now a little bit, almost 1,300 members in 127 countries. And in December, this grassroots organization or grassroots group, we structured it and formed the World Tourism Network. The World Tourism Network emerged out of rebuilding.travel. The rebuilding.travel discussion is ongoing, but the corporate roof now is World Tourism Network. It's a member organization, and I can only suggest for anyone who's not a member, go to WTN.travel and become a member. And what we'll do on March 5th, we're going to have a group of decision makers and industry leaders joining us on March 5th in two events. We have one in the morning Hawaii time would be about 2 p.m. or 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we have one in the evening Hawaii time the night before, what is morning time in Europe or a midday in Asia. And we're going to meet tourism leaders to discuss about what really happened the last year, what is happening now in tourism, and what are the predictions for the future. So everyone is invited to be part of this upcoming event. It's going to be a Zoom call, and like always, like this one, we live stream it throughout our network and other networks, and we hope to get some good interest. You can actually find the details, and you can already register for it at worldtourismevents.com. Just go to worldtourismevents.com, and you'll find both of the events on March 5th, and you can sign up. If any one of you has something very special to contribute, just contact us, go to WTN.travel and click on contact and let us know what you wanted to contribute. We're looking possibly for interesting speakers still, or people who can represent something. And of course, we're looking like always for sponsors. And it's very worthwhile to be a sponsor for this event because I'm have a feeling it'll go far. It's something what you don't have an opportunity every day to look back and look in the future for such an important...
Really part of history.
Absolutely.
Yes. So speaking of history, maybe a good way to end is tomorrow night is the Jewish holiday of Purim. Now, most people don't know about Purim, but it's a really unique holiday. Some people believe, and it's the data is can be debated, that from Purim comes the whole concept of carnival in Europe or Mardi Gras in New Orleans. So it really deals with tourism. Matter of fact, traditionally you have a big drunken parade on Purim. The Hebrew word for it is ad lo yada, which means that you should be so drunk that you don't know the difference between the saintly Mordecai and the evil Haman in the book of Esther. And it's kind of an interesting holiday. It's the only day in the Jewish calendar where you're supposed to drink. And so it's considered a godly deed to let loose. People wear costumes. It's people dress in all sorts of strange things. This year, of course, usually in Israel, they have parades across the whole country. This year, of course, because of COVID, it's a little bit downplayed. But many people believe that the Europeans took the concept of Purim and they turned it into things like Oktoberfest in Germany, Carnival, which of course became a very big thing in Rio de Janeiro and in other parts of the world. Cologne, I think, and Munich has a big carnival. And I want to emphasize it, it's a might, maybe based on the book of Esther and the story of Purim, which is kind of a unique story. If you read it in the Hebrew, it's really funny because it doesn't say that in the English version, it says that King Ahasuerus had a big banquet, but the Hebrew says mishteh, which merely really means a drunken brawl. And he tells his queen Vashti to come in wearing, in English says, with your crown. In Hebrew, it's the preposition but is there, which means with, exclusive of anything else. In other words, he tells her to come in stark naked. And Vashti says, hell no, I won't go. And many people see that as the first act of radical feminism. So tomorrow night is not only maybe the start of the carnival season, which is becomes eventually Mardi Gras and other things, but it's also where the women's movement begins and the idea of women's rights, that you cannot treat a woman just as a sexual object. So anyway, if you're not doing anything tomorrow, don't drink and drive, but it is considered a godly act to read the Book of Esther and to have a little bit of what we call schnapps, which is a little bit of a liquor, one way or the other, so that you're at least happy. So the saying is, on Purim, we should all be happy. So I hope that tomorrow night, everybody is very happy.
And schnapps, it's in, at least in Germany, I can tell you, it's a magic thing. My grandfather always believed there's no medicine for anything. And this man lived, he died when he was 97 years old, and he never went to a doctor. He really never had a need to go to the doctor, but he always had a bottle of schnapps. He was not a drunk. He was a drunk, but whenever he didn't feel right, he had a cold, he drank a schnapps. I'm wondering what schnapps would do for COVID. Did we have any studies?
Maybe that's the problem that Dr. Fauci doesn't know, that everybody should be given some schnapps. They can have the German schnapps or the Jewish schnapps. It comes out to the same schnapps. And maybe if we all had some schnapps tomorrow, we'd put an end to COVID. If nothing else, we'd be happy. And maybe your grandfather was right.
All right, Peter. So,
all right.
Interesting session. And thank you, everyone, for being part here. And you can see this again in archive. We usually repeat it once an hour for the next few hours till tomorrow. US Times. Otherwise, go back to livestream.travel and you can actually listen to all our archives. So you can go to anchor.fm if you prefer to listen to the podcast.
Good evening. Chag Sameach l'Purim. Happy Purim and enjoy tomorrow night.
Okay. Bye-bye. And aloha from here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
At Sandals, your health and safety is our top priority, which is why we created our Platinum Protocol of Cleanliness. Now, you can have the peace of mind of knowing that while you're creating your wedding celebration, we're taking care of the rest. Sandals was built on dreams. Dreams of romantic escapes. Endless possibilities. Magical moments. And new beginnings. At Sandals, dreams of happily ever after still come true with a free wedding or a fully customizable one. You can feel safe saying I do to a wedding beneath a gazebo in a lush tropical garden. Or walking down a white sand aisle with an impossibly turquoise sea as your backdrop. Or even floating above the sea in an open air over the water chapel. Our venues are found in wide open spaces, nature made for love to blossom. Best of all, even your friends and family who can't travel with you can still be a part of your special day. Because Sandals is offering live stream services of your wedding ceremony. And while we've led the industry in health and safety protocols for nearly 40 years, our resorts are even safer and more romantic than ever before, offering you a wedding free of worries and filled with love. That includes reducing the capacity of our venues and putting more physical distance between your guests. Your guests will still have a picture-perfect view of the ceremony, but they'll be seated further apart. At your reception, instead of tables for eight, we'll have the same size tables, but only seats 6 guests per table. And we've eliminated buffets and specialty food stations, so all food will be plated and served by Sandals staff wearing masks. At Sandals, the honeymoon of your dreams begins the moment you say, "I do." And we are once again setting a new standard of excellence with our Platinum Protocol of Cleanliness to ensure it's unforgettable and worry-free. With extensive research from local ministries and health officials, the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, we've instituted advanced hygiene practices across 18 touch points. A triple check system that includes inspecting, cleaning, and sanitizing hard surfaces and common areas every 20 minutes. Adding auto-dispensing hand sanitizing stations throughout the resort. To ensure the utmost safety, Sandals will be using hospital-grade disinfectants, electrostatic sprayers for advanced cleaning, UV lighting equipment to inspect cleanliness, and air duct sanitization for each room before every guest's arrival. We've gone so far as to steam clean and sanitize carpeting and flooring prior to arrivals, and placing personal hand sanitizers in every guest room. For added safety, all staff members are required to wear protective face gear at all times. And from now on, guests will be able to begin their Sandals experience before even leaving their house. Guests can check in online at home, which lets them bypass the front desk and go directly to their rooms. Stricter physical distancing protocols have also been put in place in every part of the resort. In addition, all of our spa facilities and sports equipment will be sanitized before and after use with hospital-grade disinfectants. We're also committed to providing a dedicated quality inspection team at each resort. To ensure strict compliance and implementation of these safety protocols, so that our guests can enjoy a 5-star luxury included vacation that's 100% worry-free. We can't wait to help make your dreams come true with a destination wedding and honeymoon at Sandals. And while you're creating 1,000 worry-free moments, we'll take care of the rest.